Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Catherine. Thanks for your patience.
Michael, 3 months then in the job, ready and raring to go.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you always want more time to prep and plan, but ultimately, yeah, really excited to get going now. The real work starts. You know, I think the pre-season's been pretty good in terms of getting the group together. Still would like a couple more bodies in the building, but you know, you never get everything you want for the start. Still 3 weeks to go, but no, really happy with the application of the staff and the players, and being open to a new voice and new ideas.
Has it been what you expected so far, or any surprises?
There's been no nasty surprises. Some of the surprises have been good, in terms of, like you said, there's a lot of noise about the group when I first came in. So you're always a little bit wary of, but you take people as you find them, and as far as I've been concerned, everyone's been in great from above, the staff and the players and the supporters as well. So, you know, I'm fully aware that we haven't won a game yet of any note, but it's been really, really pleasing and really appreciated since I've come in.
Just speaking to Jonathan Hogan, he said that he felt the dressing room, the squad now, was probably as together as it's maybe been in the last 5 or 6 years. How important was that element of pre-season for you to make sure that everybody was together and ready as a united front?
Well, there's been a bit of soul-searching from everyone. You know, there's, like I said, outside influences, outside noise. Ultimately, most of the group were in a team that got relegated. So it's how do you want to react? Do you want to blame everyone else, or do you want to take a little bit of ownership of it? What went wrong, why did it go wrong, and how can we correct it? That's part of my job, is to try and sort of fact-find almost, and get to the bottom of it. Now, it's easy, this is the honeymoon period, because you've not had to pick a team and you've not lost a game. So we're fully aware of that you are in that period, and that's when you've got to stress to the players that it can't be okay for the first week. If you think it's right in the first week of pre-season, it's because you're saying it because you think it's right. Well, just because you maybe don't get picked in a team or the team loses, it can't all of a sudden be about you and your agenda. It's something I'm really, really big on, that you'll achieve nothing as an individual in this game. You need 10 other people with you. Well, you need another 30. Well, we took 50 people on pre-season, but there's 11 on the pitch. They're the important ones on a Saturday. During the week, everyone's just as important as each other. So the moment players start making it about them or an issue between me and you or a player against a player, nothing good comes of it, and ultimately that reflected in the relegation last year. So it's just trying to knit that together and get to the bottom of it.
You know League One inside out better than any of us. What can we expect from League One football?
It'll be a tough league this year. There's leagues within leagues, so the Championship, you know, the probably smallest attendance you're going to go to is a 15,000-16,000. They're all nice stadiums. Here you've got some big clubs, ambitious clubs who want to, as we are one of them. But then you've got to go to places, you know, like Cambridge, like Crawley, where they're just as motivated. And they, you know, I've been one of those smaller teams in the league, and they're the ones you've got to be prepared for, because it's easy to go to a Birmingham or a Bolton where the surroundings are familiar. I'm not saying it's easy to get a result, but I'm talking about the environment that you're walking into and the support base. The different test from this group will be you've got to go to places where, well, outside you'll be just expected to win, but it's not quite that easy. Like I said, I've been at the bottom end, and when I was at Cheltenham, you know, we used to go to places like Huddersfield and Ipswich and Charlton, and we used to love upsetting the apple cart, so it's preparing the players for that side of it. And there are some big clubs in it as well.
There's a lot of focus inevitably on Birmingham and the money that they've spent. There's always going to be a lot of focus on Wrexham and the Hollywood glitz and glamour that goes with that. Looking at kind of where people are pitching Huddersfield, the expectation is definitely you will be there or thereabouts, but maybe not the biggest fish. Is that where you feel is about right? Are you comfortable with maybe being up there with the favourites, but not outright favourites to go back up automatically?
You've got to be comfortable because you've just been relegated. So you're always going to be one of the favourites. But that's just talk, and I've said this to the players. You know, Peterborough's a perfect example. They've sold quite a few players, but they've turned down multi-million pound bids for players that are still there. We've just taken Lasse Sorensen, Herbie Kane and Anthony Evans out of League One, and I think the players have already realised they're all good players. So there's a lot of good players at this level. So, you know, the badge, the size of the stadium counts for nothing. It's togetherness, it's ability, enthusiasm, all the things that build a winning sort of environment. So yeah, there'll be more expectation. That's part of the job of is changing, shifting the mindset of the football club in terms of the last couple of years, probably 10 out of the last 12 years have been survival, survival, survival. You know, don't get beat, don't get beat, don't get beat. We need to shift the whole mentality of the football club. Take the responsibility, put your shoulders back without an arrogance and go, all right, well, if that's expected of us, we have to deliver. But it's educating the players and even the supporters of what does it take to deliver week in, week out. Not a flash in the pan. I'm not a big one for high fives when you win one game of football. You know, the big celebrations are for the end of the season. That's when the real celebrations take place, but it's 10 months down the line. So there's, you know, you'll get used to a lot of sound bites that I use, but we do try and win the next half. Try and win every half and pop your head up, see where we're at, get your head down, right, what do we need to adjust, what do we need to be better at, what can we improve at, and then you just keep going like that. But no, the expectation from everyone at the football club is can we bounce back?
Let's talk squad. No manager you ever talk to will not say, I'd like a couple more. Would you like a couple more additions before the end of the window? We spoke to Jake Edwards at the start of this week and he made no secret of the fact that looking at a striker was something that they are focusing on. Is that an area where you feel you maybe could do with a bit more reinforcement?
Yeah, absolutely. You asked me the first of next month and go, would you like one more? And I'm like, yeah. And you could have every player you wanted in the building. You'll always find one more. But I think we are probably a couple short. But there's still 3 weeks now, like you said, there's people are going to realise they're not in the team, whether it's at our club or whether it's at other clubs. So things move quite quickly now. The Premier League big boys, they're starting to come back from the two-week holiday that they've had after the Euros, which they don't get a lot, those fellas. But so a lot of the pre-season tours, there's a lot of younger Premier League players that they take with them, and then there's a fallout from there. So, yeah, I do think we need a couple more. But we've known that a long time. It's not been through a lack of effort, but we need to make sure they're the right ones as well.
Any chance of any new faces before Saturday?
No.
Any interest from elsewhere that you're having to fend off for players that you want to keep?
Not that I'm aware of. There's always going to be interest in your players. Well, if you think you've got good players, you know, I quite often say it to players, do you think you're a good player? Yeah, we'll get used to having a bit of interest around you then. So I'm sure there is interest in a few of the players, but as far as I'm aware, we've not had any bid that I've been made aware of.
And is that a conversation that you've had with either the owner or the board to say, you know what, we don't actually have to sell anybody if it's a player that you want to keep, they're going nowhere?
I think there's a tipping point always. I never met Jack Radone. So if you'd asked me when I walked in the door, I'd like to keep Jack Radone, but it was a good deal for both parties. You know, he wanted to play as high as he can and the club got a good deal. So it's not a case of, oh, the player doesn't want to be here, we've just got to get rid of him. It's never that. They need to match what the club thinks they're worth. That was a deal that they thought was. So, you know, I want to keep everyone. But as a head coach and not a manager, certain things get taken out of my hands when it gets to a certain level. But we've said it all pre-season. I think we've been true to our words so far. There hasn't been a fire sale. Completely different to when I was at Barnsley, where I think at this point we'd sold four or five and we started the season and there were probably another three or four that were inevitably going to leave. I'm not saying that won't happen, but that's not been put on my radar yet.
How do you think you'll feel then? First game in charge, got to wait till 5:30, which we could probably all do without, honestly. But how do you think you'll feel walking this team out as the manager of Huddersfield Town for the first time on Saturday?
I think, well, pride's always the... It's not easy to become a manager. So there's always pride of walking any team out, particularly a team that you're proud of walking in front of. You spent a lot of time and effort trying to get them to reflect what you want and probably your personality. We haven't got there yet because we've not played a game, like I said. But that's what you want. There's been a real good feel around the place. As I said before, the application of the players has been first class in training. Doesn't guarantee your results, but it helps if you're doing the work during the week. And one thing they have been doing is they have been working.
And how important is it for you to hit the ground running? There is a real feel-good factor, as you say, around the club at the moment. It feels like a fresh start to just make sure that momentum continues with ideally a win on the opening day.
Well, ideally, that happens. You've got to react. You can't become too emotional. If we win, great. why did we win, what could we get better at, and we lose, it was exactly the same process. It's, you know, in my job, world I live in, it's a really reactive world now with social media. Have I seen the team improve from the start of pre-season to the end of pre-season? Yeah. So how can we keep improving? Results are a byproduct of what you're doing in the week. Say it all the time. You know, results look after itself. It's the processes that you put in place. And as long as that's still chugging along, hopefully results will go the right way. So, yes, you'd like it. It's not imperative. But as long as we see a learning curve, hopefully the results will come.
Best of luck. Thank you, Michael.
Cheers. Thanks, Catherine. We'll go to Stephen from We Are Terriers next.
Hi, Michael. You've had, I'm not sure what your position is on telling us about injuries, but you were missing Ollie Turton, Bojan Radulovic over the past few weeks. How are they looking ahead of Saturday?
Ollie's fit. Ollie's been training with us for the last couple of weeks now. Well, and in Austria, got minutes. Good. In Austria, was injured whilst we were out there. Yeah. Bojan was injured when we went to Austria. We thought it was more beneficial for him to get back, to stay back and train. Rehab, because we had 3 games in 6 days, so it's difficult to rehab on your own. You could get some team football with the younger lads, but Bojan's out for probably about 6 weeks. Played in a bounce game last Friday, scored 3 goals in 28 minutes and pulled his groin. So, you know, it was good that we were getting minutes into him, but it's just sort of where he's at the minute. He can't keep him on the grass, so it's a disappointment for him, it's a disappointment for us, but yeah, so he definitely won't be in contention.
Yeah, that's a pity. Have you had any new issues that you're willing to share with us at all?
No, clean, other than that, clean obviously, Olka. Yeah. But yeah, nothing new.
Do you see Peterborough, obviously we're in the playoffs last year, do you see this as an opportunity, as much as it's sort of, you know, a tough way to get started, an opportunity to put a marker down for where you are for this season?
It's difficult, because if you win, you go, yeah, that's a good marker. But if you lose, I'm going to go, well, it's not that important. It's the first game of the season, we want to win.
Yeah.
So we want to win every game. Yeah. So there's no point getting away from the fact. But I don't think anyone, you know, I think, you know, Barnsley won 7-0 the first game of last season. Doesn't mean they're automatically going to win the league because they won 7-0. So it's staying level, staying calm, and trusting the things that we're putting in place that will hopefully get you results. But I think it's a good game for us, because a lot of our players won't know the players in the league. Mm-hmm. So as I said to you, you know, I've already told our players, we've just signed 3 really good players out of League One. Harrison Burrows was very, very good for Sheffield United last year, who was at Peterborough. And they've turned down a lot of money for quite a few of the players that are still there. So it's as much a marker of that's the level. You know, don't just assume that you're going to walk into this league and sleepwalk into the top 2 or 3. Ain't going to happen.
Apologies to go back to something Catherine's already sort of touched on, but sort of on the departure, since I last spoke to you, obviously Sauber's gone out to France and Jacko and Neo have gone to Barrow. Is there, as much as there's areas where you want to add, are there areas where you feel like there could be more departures like that, maybe players on the fringe of the squad who might benefit from a move away?
I think you'll probably know more in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It'll depend on ins, whether there's any outs always. People might make their own decision that I'm not going to get as much football as what I want. I'll have honest conversations with people if that is going to be the case, if it's the best thing for them and us, because what you don't want is you don't want people unhappy, but you can't keep everyone happy either. Mm. You know, there are every player. I'd be disappointed if every player isn't disappointed if they're not picked in the starting 11. But with that becomes a responsibility as well. And if that individual, whoever it is, it might not appear, starts going against the group and against the grain, and it's going to start affecting the bigger picture, that's when it becomes a problem. It doesn't always work. Sometimes it become quite amicable. You know, Jacko was a perfect example. I had an honest conversation with him, told him, look, I think for the betterment of his career, he wasn't going to get the football that he wants. So we came to an agreement that it was best for him and his career, and better for us that he moved to Barrow and furthered his career. So it doesn't always have to be, I want people out. Sometimes it's just a conversation.
Yeah. Where are you on sort of rotation policy, things like that? Is it the case that just because someone's not picked on Saturday, you know, obviously you've got the Cup on Tuesday, which gives another opportunity to look maybe at some different players. We'll talk about that then, I'm sure. But is it a case of keep working away and your opportunity will come?
Yeah, it's always the way. Things I say to players is, if you come and knock on my door and say, well, am I not on the team, and I can go because of this, 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 this and this, then that's on you. Mm. The moment a player knocks on the door and says, well, why am I not on the team? I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that. And if that keeps going, that's probably when they know, look, I'm not going to play here. It's time to move on. So sometimes you've got to put it back on the player and go, are they doing everything they can to get in the team? And sometimes players hit a level and it's just like, well, you're not going to get in the team. But that's an open, honest conversation. It's that's just part of the job.
I meant more in sort of a positive sense, perhaps, for this weekend, because, you know, looking at your back three and, I mean, your central midfield, centre forwards, kind of everywhere, really, it feels like you're going to have to leave someone out that's going to be unhappy. I know to a certain extent that's football, but, you know, I think there's players who you'd look at from this summer and say they've looked really good, they probably deserve to be in the team, but there's not enough places for them. That must be the nice kind of difficult conversation.
That's the tough part of the job, when you're disappointing people who are giving you everything. You know, that is a hard part of the job, because I'm watching lads giving everything in training, doing everything in training, and you can't find a spot for them. So, but quite very rarely does this team, when I walk in the door, you go, well, that's my team, you think. And then first game of the season, you're going to pick a team, and it's changed. And the last game of the season, it won't be the same as the first game of the season. So it moves quickly. Some people need to wait. Some people need an opportunity. Some people need someone else's misfortune. We are going to have to leave some good players out of the team. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But as I said, it's not 11 players will get you promoted.
Yeah.
You're going to need, and it's cliche, and that's when you see the real signs of how together a group are. You know, talk's cheap. Oh, we're together. Hear it all the time. We're a great set of lads. What a great bunch of lads these are. Well, normally there's a couple of eggs in there. So I'm not saying, well, I've seen that. I haven't seen that at all. But the real stuff hasn't started yet. And it's important that the players remind each other and themselves that what they've said 6 weeks ago can't change now, because they've committed to that.
Yeah.
And that's where the self-policing within the squad comes in. That's, well, you know, you were right 3 weeks ago, but now you've not played the first couple of games. You're turning into that egg that we're talking about. We don't want that. So hopefully that won't happen. But yeah, it moves quickly, football. It's very rarely the same starting 11 for the first four games of the season.
You've got that leadership group now. I think some fans are a bit surprised at some of the younger players that might be involved in that group, but is that about having people that are sort of representative of all the different social groups, all the different levels of play you've got at the club, having someone that they feel is approachable with stuff?
Yeah, they've all got an opinion.
Yeah.
So I stand up on a Monday morning, for example, and go, what do you think, lads? Well, Hoggy will give me an answer, and Tom Lees will give me an answer, and Matty Pearson will give me an answer, because they've played the most games, they've got the most experience. But just because of that doesn't mean their opinion is always right. So, you know, someone said something to me the other day about this, and said, well, Misha is not in it. Well, Misha captained the team on Friday night. But the older ones generally hang around together, so if they've got an issue that they want to report into that group, they just tell the people they knock around with.
Yeah.
So I don't want everyone that's of the same, from Yorkshire, 33, and play 500 league games, because they don't know what the young kids are thinking.
Yeah.
And their opinion is just as important, because we can't just cater for two or three. You know, on nights out, for example, I don't want to go, well, let's go there because that's what they want, and you get all the young lads, and you think, well, that's no interest in that. So it's trying to get a balance of basically the group's voice.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, you're not going to please everybody, but rather than, I was that senior player. What do you think? I'll give you my opinion. What do you think? I'll give you my opinion. And someone sat there, they've all got an opinion, because they all go into their family and speak, and they all speak to their agent. But sometimes they don't voice it in front of a group of 30 people. Well, if they voice it in their own little groups, that can get put into the leadership group, which is a bit more open. And then it could be anonymous then as well. It's just someone's opinion from the group. So that's the idea of it.
Yeah.
It's not a case of, I don't think someone like Misha is a leader, because I wouldn't, if I didn't think that, I wouldn't give him the captain's armband. So yeah, there's a bit more method to it than just picking the old ones.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Let's get the microphone over. Leon from the Yorkshire Post, you're next up, please.
Hi, Michael. Good to see you. I know you've spoken about, you know, coming in and observing players and good habits. It sounds like, I know talk's cheap, but you've seen a lot of what you're pleased with in terms of, you know, into how the players are conducting themselves in training and how they've come together. It's been a good start. I know you always say it's a window into your Saturday's in the window into your working week, and you've seen a lot that you're pleased with by the sound of it.
Yeah, I've seen your wallpaper's not got any better, I know that. It's the first day of the season, so it's all shiny new and everyone's, you know, being really nice. But I think genuinely when the graft has got hard, and they have worked hard, we said we wanted them fit and fresh, and we think that at that point, I think last week against Sheffield United, we looked fit but tired because they've been in for 12 or 13 days straight. There was the Limassol game where they looked knackered. But ultimately, are they fit? I think they're fit and they look fresh going into the game, which is where you want them to be at the end of in pre-season. But no, I've been really pleased with a lot of what I've seen. And I said not just from the football point of view, I mean the staff, I mean from the messaging from above. You come into the stadium and there's a feel of sort of positivity. That only carries you so far. You know, ultimately we have to put a team out that the supporters are proud of, and the team that's going to win more games than it loses.
Yeah, you don't have to stop training or anything like that yet then?
No, not yet. No, that was, but you know, different club, different times. It's I'm sure we will have to, because ultimately I think you need to set high standards, and they've set those standards, and if they slip below them, that's on them. So we need to make sure that it gets driven from me and the staff, but it's also important that they take account for their own standards and their own actions.
Can I ask you about Ben Wiles? He obviously came in, he's had a good pre-season, he came in last year a decent price tag, he'd left his hometown club, and sometimes that's never easy, and it never quite went for him, but you know, there's a lot of the people in football, you know, there's certainly a player in there and he's got a lot of attributes you like, and then, you know, hopefully you can tap into that this season, because he could potentially be a pretty big player for you.
I think he's a good player. Again, like I said, there's a lot of noise about a lot of people and a lot of things when I walked into the stadium, so I think he's been great, Wilesy, as most of them have. I haven't had a problem with anyone, really, but you know, he's come back, he's looked fit. I know he had a difficult time in terms of in and out of the team and injuries and things like that, but you know, I've asked him what he wants. I've told him his responsibilities are within the team, with and without the ball, because that's my job, and then it's his job to execute it, and he's done it well so far, so hopefully he can be a big player for us. He's coming into the prime of his career in terms of his age and age and everything like that, and you know, not, he had a difficult year last year, but hopefully he's come through that wiser, more experienced and better for it. You know, I'm exactly the same. I had a difficult year myself last year. The club had a difficult year last year. So, you know, we've all had a little bit of shared hardship. So how do you make yourselves better for the benefit of us and the football club?
Yeah, and there's one thing, I mean, I think you touched on it when you were at Barnsley after that first game against Plymouth. You learn a lot about your side on this first day, and whatever happens, hopefully, you know, it's positive. But when you come off that pitch, it's Peterborough, because, you know, it's a very stiff examination. You'll know a bit more whatever happens.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll know more when we name a team. You'll learn more about the group just in the next 24 hours when we actually name the team. We'll learn more about the 11 that start. Who can impact the game? Who doesn't impact the game? So every day's a learning day. It's just the world that we live in. It's ever evolving, ever moving. And I think the moment you think you've got football worked out, you're done. You know, I felt that as a player when I was 38. I hadn't worked it out, and I'm, you know, a lot older than that now, and a few more games down the line. And you know, you haven't worked out. You can always improve and be better, but. One thing I'm hoping we don't get played off the park like that first game at Barnsley. That's one thing.
I was going to ask you finally about Spencer. He's obviously signed a new deal, and it was a bit of a ray of sunshine in the last, the you know, final bit of last season when it was really difficult for the club, and he's come through. He, you know, he looks like an old head on young shoulders. He's a defender as well. He must really enjoy working with him. He looks a very good talent, all being well.
Yeah, he's physically got some brilliant attributes. His mentality is really good. And, you know, the club are protecting the asset. We're taking the option up. And I think Brodie's another one. I think I can improve him. I've got a track record of improving defenders. Hopefully if he listens, and which he has done, and he takes it on, he'd become better, which would be good for him and good for us. Like I said, if the team are winning and he's playing well, that's great for him, me, the football club. Yeah. It's always that win-win situation. But no, I knew a little bit about Brodie anyway with the Northern Ireland background. I knew quite a few people that knew of him anyway. I think he's got 8 or 9 caps, a 20-year-old. So he is a valuable asset for the football club, and hopefully he can help us achieve what we want to achieve.
Yeah, best of luck, Michael. I'll get the decorators in next week, don't
I? Cheers, Leon.
Thanks, Leon. We'll finish with Jim.
Recording
Jim
in progress.
Online. Thank you.
Hi, Michael. Michael, just to start off there, I suppose, in terms of priorities, a packed fixture schedule this year, probably more games for Huddersfield, and with the FA League trophy out in earlier rounds of the cup as well. In terms of prioritising Huddersfield's season, how big does the squad have to be dealing with the extra games, and what is the focus? I presume league is the priority.
Yeah, the league's always the priority. League's always the priority. You've obviously got the other cup competitions where sometimes it's more important to get people minutes who haven't had a lot of football. But any game that we play, we'll be trying to win. You know, I'm not one for just rocking up and going, oh, we'll put that team out, because it's a waste of my time and a waste of the supporters' time. So, you know, the team won't always be the same for cup competitions. But there are rules in place that you can't make wholesale changes and change the complete 11. But whatever 11 we're against, we'll want to put a team out that wins, because that's what we're trying to breed. I've just said we're trying to change the mentality of the football club, that surviving isn't good enough, nicking a draw here isn't good enough, it's win. So, yes, there will be priorities. The league is obviously the main priority, because that's where the club wants to get back out of this league. But you need to keep players, you need to keep them motivated. You need to give them little carrots that there is a chance. You need to give them opportunities to prove that they're good enough. So it's getting that balance of everything, but ultimately it's to win.
Yeah, I suppose, Michael, one thing for the last few years with Huddersfield is having a goal scorer in double digits in terms of the season. There's been a spread of goals, but going back now a few years ago, there hasn't been really a sharpshooter who has hit really prominent sort of form. And I suppose strikers have come in Huddersfield at the last few seasons, midway through the season, with Reece Healy, for example, who had a good record out in France and Watford. And how important is it to them to get a pre-season under the belt and maybe to come in with a new fresh emphasis, hard to come in and hit the form and bang goals in with a side that is struggling down the championship?
Well, we're hoping that, you know, Reece's injury record is well documented, and he's actually had a chat with him today in terms of, I think he's trained every day pre-season, and in the last couple of weeks he's starting to show us why the football club bought him and why he's been at those clubs that you've just mentioned. So we're hoping that he's going to be a big player for us. Like I said, we are still looking for at least one more in that area. I think everywhere else we look fully covered. But that's the one part. But like I said, you don't always get what you want, and there's an opportunity for somebody. Who's going to put their hand up? You know, you're going to pick 11 players. And everyone assumes that somebody that isn't at the football club is better than someone who's at the football club. It's the cycle of coaching. You know, you sign somebody new and you can do this, this, this and this, and 6 months later all you say is, well, he can't do this, he can't do this, he can't do this. Then you go and sign someone who's exactly the same player. So work with what you've got is my job. Do you always want more and better? Absolutely. But sometimes you look too far ahead or too far in the distance and you don't see what's underneath. So there's been opportunities. I think Reece has been a big player. Bojan's obviously had a disappointing pre-season, because we've not been able to get him fit. But, you know, Josh Caroma, Keane Harrott, we are looking to add. There's been goals. I think we've scored every pre-season game against some really good opposition. Midfielders have chipped in. We'll need centre-half to chip in. So, ideally, you want a big contribution from everyone, because if you have one player that scores all of your goals and he gets injured, then you've got nothing else. If you can get one player that scores 20 and the rest of them all score 5 or 6, then that's the Holy Grail.
And finally, for me, Michael, we know about the bread and butter stuff in terms of defending set pieces and attacking set pieces. And with Matty Pearson and Tom Lees, when Huddersfield were going well, there was such an aerial threat in terms of in opposing defences' box. And I suppose with Radino, if you get Balker, if you get him back on the field as well, massive size there in terms of centre-halves. So it's probably something that you'll be looking to exploit in terms of set pieces and try and get Matty and Balker and Tom Lees on the end of some of those deliveries.
Well, I think Misha was top goal scorer last year with 9 goals, so we don't want that to happen again. We want our top goal scorer to have more goals, but we still want to be a threat from set plays. One thing that the club was good at last year in a difficult league, they were good at set plays four and good defensively from set plays. It's probably the bit in between the two boxes wasn't as good. So it's trying to keep that strength and adding to it, because no matter what we think, there'll be games that are won and lost on a set play this year. Even the Sheffield United game, you know, for all our good play and for all their good play, we've ended up not winning the game because someone's not followed up from a free kick. Those little tiny things can't happen, because over a season that will affect your way you finish in the season.
Cheers, Michael. Thank you.
Cool, man.
Thanks, everyone.